Good morning, Charleston Church. Let's stand to our feet this morning. We're so glad that you're here in God's house to worship together. Why don't you turn around to a few people and just welcome them, shake their hands, tell them you're glad that they're here this morning.
One, two, one, two, three, four.
I'm so grateful for the presence of God. And when we come together, He's here in the midst. Let's just worship Him and proclaim His goodness together this
Bring
morning.
The rose
Amen.
In. One, two.
Oh. Jesus, we just magnify you in this place. Oh, holy, we cry, holy, hallelujah. God is here. I see it. Holy, we cry, holy, hallelujah. God is here. Let's sing it out together. God is here. God is here. God is here. He is able. We draw near to see Jesus face to face. Oh, He's so good. He's so worthy.
One, two.
Aren't you glad that there's power in Jesus' name? Whatever you're facing this morning, Jesus is greater. Jesus is stronger. Can you say a good amen? God is fighting for us. God is on our side. He is overcome. Yes, He is overcome. We will not be shaken. We will not be moved. Jesus, You are here. Carrying our burdens. Covering our shame. He is overcome. Yes, He is overcome. this next song, we're just going to declare this as a church over ourselves, over our neighbor, over those to the right and to the left of you. Maybe you've come into this place and you don't feel that peace. You don't feel that peace that passes all understanding. You know it in your mind, and you know it because of the Word of God, but you don't feel like you're experiencing it this morning. Together, with all our faith gathered together, we're going to proclaim this, that the peace of God that surpasses all understanding is going to guard your heart, and it's going to guard your mind this morning. And you're going to leave different this morning than when you came. That heavy weight that you've been carrying, that you were never meant to carry, you're going to give it to Jesus this morning. And you're going to leave different than when you came. If you came in feeling hopeless, let me tell you, there's a hope in Jesus. You're going to leave feeling that hope and feeling that strength. If you felt like all your strength is gone, you're going to leave feeling strong in Jesus' name this morning, because that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You're going to leave different this place in Jesus' name. You're going to leave being filled with hope. You're going to leave being filled with strength. So we're going to declare this as a church together, that the peace of God is going to surround you. It's going to surround every situation. It's going to surround every circumstance. We're going to declare this over our communities, that the peace of God is going to come and cover every situation. So let's declare this as a church. Peace of God, cover me. Cover me, cover me. Peace of God, cover me through the storm. Cover me. Declare it, church. Only in you I find peace. So cover me. Cover me. Cover me when I am hurting. Cover me when I'm not strong. Cover me when I am going through the storm. Is gone. Let the peace that passes all I understand cover me. It's gonna cover you this morning. Peace of God, cover me. Cover me. Cover me. Every area, every situation. Peace of God, cover me through the storm. Cover me. Only in you I am safe. My family is safe. Only in you I am secure. Declare it over that situation. Cover me, cover me. peace come this morning. Cover me, cover me, here's how you cover. For that this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
You're Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. You guys happen to be in the house of God this morning? Can you sense the presence of the Lord here this morning or what? Hallelujah. Before you're seated, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 says, do not be anxious or worried about anything. But in everything, this is the Amplified version, every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific requests known to God. And what we just sang about, verse 7, it says, and the peace of God, somebody say the peace of God, the peace of God. That peace which reassures the heart. That peace which transcends all understanding. That peace which stands guard over your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus is yours. It's yours. It's yours this morning. That peace of God. Some of you walked in here this morning, you needed a miracle. I can tell you right now, allow God's peace to cover you right now, because that miracle is coming. Where there seemed to be no way, He's the way maker this morning. Whatever your need is, whatever you have need of, God's got you covered in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. High five your neighbor before you're seated. Tell him God's got you covered. Praise the Lord. Man, Heather started preaching over there on the keyboard, and I was having a glory spell down there. That was good. Praise God. Well, thank you all for coming out to Charleston Church this morning. If you are visiting us this morning, you are our guest. Charleston Church, let all of our guests, let them know that they're welcome this morning, and we love them. Those of you that are here and watching us online, welcome. If you are visiting for the first time, if you just look in the seat back in front of you, there's a contact card. All we'd like to have you do is fill that out, and when the offering buckets go by, if you could just drop that in there, that way we can get in contact with you. We've got some great things going on here at Charleston Church, always. Coming up, I mean, this is the last Sunday of the year. The last Sunday of 2018. It's exciting. 2019 is coming, and we're excited. And Charleston Church, we're going to have the best year Charleston Church has ever seen in 2019. Can somebody say amen this morning? We're going to start the year off right. Next Sunday, on January 6th, Pastor Ward is going to start a new series, going to kick it off. It's called Clean Slate. How many of you have ever needed a clean slate before? Amen. I needed that. So join him, and you're going to learn how to get a do-over financially, spiritually, and relationally. That's beginning next week, January 6th. Following that, January 7th, Monday, we're going to do our corporate fast here at Charleston Church. I'm blessed every time we do a corporate fast. There's something about it when we agree together and we begin to fast and seek the Lord. Man, God does some amazing things. How many here can testify that, yeah, you've been involved with a fast before and you've seen God do some great things? Yeah, I mean, look around. People have been blessed by God by when you fast, when you discipline yourself, when you say no to your flesh and you're looking to the Spirit. God does some amazing things. So for that week, January 7th, and that's going to end on January 11th. Monday to Friday, we're going to be having our corporate fast. Also coming up on January 19th at 6 p.m., Unspoken will be here live in concert. And so that's going to be a great time. Make sure you get your tickets. They're available at lighthouseevents.com. Ushers, if you would come this morning, we'll get ready to take up this morning's tithe and offerings. How many know that, listen, no matter what kind of year you had in 2018, God is doing something on your behalf even now. I've noticed God be faithful to my family. I've noticed God do some incredible things in 2018. And you know what? I'm not thinking that that's all He's got. I know that 2019 is going to be my best year yet, and it's going to be your best year yet in Jesus' name. So as the ushers are coming, we're going to get ready to take up this offering. And listen, when you give this morning, understand that you are giving to a loving God, a God that's your provider, a God that's your protector, a God that's your covering. And when we give, we don't give out of obligation, but we give with a cheerful heart. You know, I give, and I know that everything that I give, my God has blessed me beyond measure. The Bible says it will be pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That's how we can expect to receive from the Lord. God, we thank you this morning. We know that you are our God. You are not a God of some other foreign people. You are my God. And I know that you offer your protection and your provision and our healing. And we praise you, God. Lord, I pray that this offering will be blessed, God. And you will get all the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
This world can never satisfy the longing in my soul. When all is lost and hope is dry, when all I feel is cold, I'm coming back to your presence. I'm coming back to your presence. Cause there's a hunger and a thirst. I am desperate. Bear with me. I'm not waiting, not anymore. I need you. I feel it burning like a fire, stronger than before. You are the one that I desire. I couldn't ask for more. I'm coming back to your presence. 'Cause I'm coming back to your presence. 'Cause there's a high.
After all these years, oh, can you still?
Praise the Lord. Would you stand today? It's great to see you in the house of God. Pastor Ward is preaching at our church today at Down East. It's amazing. Every time I say that, it gets me excited. Our church somewhere else. Sounds funny. I'm excited that he's at our church, but somewhere else. That sounds like I'm out for his job. I'm not. Not even a little. Don't worry about that. Praise the Lord. I'm excited to be here. The Lord's going to do something wonderful in us today. It's a great song for it because I'm preaching a message. You can put up on the screen. It's called Making Room. Make room for the Lord. Making room for God is not just about coming to church once a week. It's about changing the way you live to make Jesus the center point of everything that you do. You struggle. If you have any struggles in 2018, 2019 can be different if we make room for the Lord in everything that we do. And that's what I'm preaching on today, to make room. So before we get started, I want everyone just to kind of close your eyes. And if you feel comfortable, as a sign of surrender, just lift your hands up to heaven. If you're new here, this is just a sign of worship and a sign of surrender. There's nothing weird or spooky about lifting up our hands. It's just a way we worship. The way we worship, the way we honor God, the way we say, Lord, your will, not mine. You know, there's something freeing when you do that. You put yourself in a very vulnerable position with hands raised, but that's the greatest position to be in to receive from the Lord, where you don't care about what's around you, you just care about the God that you serve. Father, I pray today that as your word gets preached, this simple, basic message that many of us have heard our whole lives, I pray that it'll inspire us as people, that we will make the next year not the same as this year. We've said many times before, next year is going to be different. Next year is going to be different. And we find ourselves falling into the same traps and into the same problems. But in the name of Jesus, we want this to be different. We don't want it to be the same. We want it to be different. So I pray, God, that we'll begin to make room in our life. Make room, God, in our schedules. Make room in our busy times. Make room at our work. Make room at our home. Make room wherever we go, God. When we shop, God, when we hang out with friends. Whatever it is, God, help us to make room for you. And we praise you, God, because we know, Lord, as we do that, you're going to be faithful to show up in a big and mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen. Someone shout amen. Amen. 2 Kings, before you sit down, 2 Kings chapter 4. We're going to start here, and we might not come back to here for a while, but we're going to start here. This is a story of a woman who the Bible says was a well-to-do woman. She was a wealthy woman, but she had no children. And every time Elisha, the prophet of God, came to their community, he did something great. Because every time the Lord shows up, he does something great. Evans, how are you? It's great to see you, buddy. If you weren't here the past couple weeks, don't worry about me. I'm okay. I'm okay. When the Lord shows up in a position and in a place, it's noticeable. And things begin to happen. And this woman noticed God showing up in Elisha's life. And so she decided that every time the presence of the Lord was near her, she wanted to do something about it. So this is what she said. She said, let's build a small room for him on the rooftop and furnish it with a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp. Then he'll have a place to stay whenever he comes by. You know what she was doing? She was making room for God in her house. And I think we need to learn from this woman today as we make room for him in 2019. You may be seated. Give God a hand clap of praise.
Hallelujah.
It took a while, but you got there. The Shunammite woman is a really cool story because she recognized that God was with Elisha. Now, you won't make room for anything you don't know or you don't trust. This woman didn't see Elisha and say, wow, that's a creeper. Let's give him a room in our house. This guy may, this guy's asking for candy and for kids to get into his minivan. That's not good. I don't want this in my house. She noticed something different about him that was holy, that was righteous, and that was powerful. And she says, if I connect myself to that, then something's going to happen in my life. She noticed something, but the key is she trusted it. And she began to notice that God was in it. But you won't make room for something that you don't know and that you don't trust. If we look back at our year, how much room did we make for the Lord? How much room did we make for the Lord in our room? Where are the places in our year in 2018 did we struggle? Did we fall on our face? Did we make mistakes? Did we do the things we shouldn't do? Did we leave God behind when we did something else? Could it be that we don't know Him like we should? Could it be we don't trust Him like we should? Well, we allow things into our life that we believe in and that we trust in. This woman saw something, and she didn't make a house for the other prophets. She didn't make a house for the prophet of Baal. She made a house, a room for the prophet of God, because there was something spectacular about the God that is, and it changed her life. And we'll talk about that later. But if you don't know or trust God, you won't make room for Him like we should. And that's always been and always will be the key for you achieving what God wants you to be. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Him? Some of you come in here today, you don't know anything about the Lord. Today could be your day. Some of us know so much about the Lord up here, but we've forgotten to really connect with Him here. We can become so busy and so strung out. Not strung out, some of us do, and we need healing from that too. But we can become so stretched. That's what I meant to say. We can become so stretched in every direction that the nuances and the passion and the intimacy with Jesus gets left behind, and it becomes just ceremony. It becomes robotic. We may think we know Jesus, but do we really? Take a look at our life. Have we made room for Him? If we haven't, dare I challenge you that we need to know Jesus a little better? Dare I challenge us? Dare I challenge myself that I need to know Jesus better? Because if I'm not taking the top part of my life, the most pivotal, most widely seen, the most important part of my life, and placing a home right on top of it and saying, Jesus, this is where You live. Do I really know God the way I should? This woman took her house, and everybody who would walk by says, I've never seen a house with a roof like that. What's that about? That's where the presence of God is. If you go to this woman's house, especially when those lamps are lit in that room, you're going to feel the presence of God. That should be our testimony. When you come near us, when you come near the people at Charleston Church, you will experience the power of God. Why? Because they have made room in their life for the things of God to move. Everybody say, make room. Make room. I believe it's pivotal to make room for God in 2019. I believe we can say that for every year that has passed. 2018, we said the same thing. 2017, we can say the same thing. All the way down to the beginning of time, every year is another opportunity for you to set yourself up to succeed. But why do I think it's so important? Well, because we're 1 year closer to Jesus' return. There's going to come a year where the people left here aren't going to be able to say, Jesus may come back, because they're going to miss it. And I think it's important for us that as every year progresses, that we get deeper in love with Jesus. That we get closer and make more room for Him in our life. If we ever come to a point that we feel like we've arrived and that the room in our life is big enough for Jesus, then we're already starting to walk backwards. There is always room for one more move of God. There's always room for one more moment with Jesus. There's always room for one more minute of prayer, one more verse to read, one more moment of intercession, one more person you can reach out to. There's always room for more. And I think as a people, we need to get that in our spirits, that there's always room for more. I haven't arrived yet. Dr. Bell, have you arrived yet? There's more room for Jesus in your life. That man knows Jesus personally, and there's more room for him, more room in his life. I'm telling you, there's more room for Jesus in your life if you'll make it. You see, we need to start. When you think about this woman building their house, think about building the house in our life. How big of a space are you giving him? Are you giving him an in-law suite that has no power, no running water, and they have to go to the outhouse? Is that what you're doing? Is Jesus your in-law that you don't really care about? I love my in-laws. I'm just kidding. They're awesome. No worries on there. They gave us their in-law suite when we first moved here, so we're good. But is that where you're building? Is you building that part of your life for Jesus, for him? Are you saying, well, here's a little corner? Or are you giving him the penthouse? Are you giving him the honor of your life and you're taking the apartment of your life? That's what we need to understand. How much are you building for Jesus in 2019? How much are you making for the Lord to come into your life, to take over your life in 2019? Because let me tell you something, church. The amount you give him is the amount you'll get back. The amount you set aside for him is the amount he's going to have. He wants to give you everything, but if you don't give him everything, it's not that he doesn't want to, he just can't. Because you've only given him a flat. You've only given him a one-bedroom apartment. You've only given him a pad. You haven't given him the best. But when you start making room for Christ in your life, with everything you've got, you'll begin to see that God is bigger than you imagined, bigger than you thought. Look back at 2018. Think about it. How big did you think God was? The answer is very simple. How much room did you give him? How much room did you give him? And I pray that every one of you says not enough. Every one of us, that needs to be our prayer. I did not give God enough room in my life in 2018. And it's time to change. We need to make more room for him, because the more you give him, the more you'll see him. The more power, the more. I remember a 103-year-old preacher standing at, well, the old pulpit, but right here, 103-year-old. At 103, where most people are, you know, just kind of like retired up, he was preaching the gospel, and his message that night was, there is more. At 103, he understood that revelation, and at 36 years old, I'm understanding that there's more. And if I'm willing to make the room, God's willing to fill the room. Make the room in your life, and God will fill the room in your life. The Shunammite woman was driven to change her entire life to accommodate the Lord, because God is good. I think the coolest part about this woman's story is that there is nothing in the scriptures at this point that says, I'm going to build this room for the Lord because I want to get something out of it. She just said, God is so good, I want to be around it. May that be our prayer, because what comes after it is amazing anyway. But let's just love Jesus because we know what he can do. We know who he is. We know the power. We know the transformation. We know he can take a drug addict and set them free. An alcoholic, and they never touch the stuff anymore. Whole broken homes can be mended. Lives can be changed. Sinners can become saints. Broken bodies can be whole. That's the God we serve. So why wouldn't we want it? She saw all the great things that God did, and she says, I want a part of that. She built the house because she saw God is that good. Let's build our life. Why? Because God is good. Everybody say that. Say, God is good. Praise the Lord. She said to her husband, behold, now I know that this is a holy man, in 2 Kings 4:9, who is continually passing our way. So in order for you to make room for the life in your life for the Holy Spirit, you need to recognize him as well. You need to recognize first that he's worthy. That he's worthy of your time. He's worthy of your energy. He's worthy of your investments. He's worthy of your finances. He's worthy of your friendships. He's worthy of your relationships. He's worthy for you to spend more time with him. He's worthy of you. That is God. You need to recognize that he's worthy. Number two, everybody say number two. You need to recognize that he's faithful. That if you make room for him, you'll never be disappointed. Whoo! I've made room for things in my life and was very disappointed. I remember being a kid waiting all these years to get this video game system, PlayStation Uno. And I was excited. I was 15, 14 years old. And I played, and you know, and after about, you know, 40 hours straight, because I was an idiot, I was disappointed, because that's it. I've made rooms, and I've been excited about things in my life that after I made room for them, I had regret. Owner's remorse. You buy things and you're like, oh, this is exciting. And then 20 minutes later, you're like, that's it? That's all it does? You need to recognize that God's faithful. You don't get owner's remorse when you make room for the Lord in your life. You appreciate and value. The thing that you have inside of you gets more valuable every single day as you make room and as you spend time, as you enjoy the presence of God. There's no owner's remorse. You need to recognize that he's faithful. Everybody say faithful. You need to recognize that God is trustworthy, that he's powerful, that he's holy, that he's your healer, your game changer. He's a comforter, a resting place, a shield, your strength, your hope, your future. And the list goes on and on and on. And on. The biggest question we need to ask ourselves, including myself, is why didn't I make more room? If this is who God is, why do I have so much stuff getting in the way? Well, praise the Lord, 2019 is going to be different, because I'm going to make room for a God that's bigger than my imagination. I believe everybody here is willing and desirous to make room for God in their life. In fact, I believe most of you already do. And a new year doesn't have to be the same old, same old. So tonight I want to bring it down, this morning I want to bring it down to the basics for the last morning meeting of the year. Do you realize this is the last time we're going to get together this year, this in the morning? Anthony's going to be preaching tonight. The last service of the year. It's going to be awesome. If you're not here, shame. I'm just kidding. Stop it. But you should come. Anthony's got a message on bringing things back to life. It's going to be amazing. But this last morning service that we have together, I want to bring it down to very basic things. And I want to tell you three things in 2019 that we must bring to the table in our lives to make room for God. And if you do these three things, I'm telling you, you will automatically make room for God, and your 2019 will be the greatest year you've ever had. If you don't, it won't be. That's how simple it is. That's how God is kind of a light and dark. No gray area with God. If you do the things that God tells you to do, it'll be great. If you don't, it won't be so good. It's very simple, right? Jesus came and he died. You believe in Jesus, you go to heaven. You don't believe in Jesus, you don't go to heaven. It's very simple. God doesn't convolute things like us humans do. Well, if I just do that, no. Do what God says, everything will be great. Don't do what he says, it's not going to be so great. 2019, there's these three principles from the Word that I want to tell you that if you up your game on these, your year is going to be wonderful. Your year is going to be the best you've had. The struggles that come your way, you will have weapons to fight through them and become better on the other side. I think what Heather sung today, Peace of God Cover Me, is amazing. Because I recognize that some of you have had bad years. And it's not because you're a bad person. It's because bad things have happened. You've lost loved ones. Things have been tough. It hasn't been easy. And in those moments, you need a powerful God to come around you. You need a God to surround you when things aren't going right, because he shows you how to get up stronger than before. And today I want to share three things that even in those dark moments, even in those struggling moments, you will find victory in these things. And they are three of the most basic things any Christian should have in their life. So we're going to go back to Sunday school today. I just forgot my flannel board. Wish I had my flannel graph board, because this would be such a great day. You know, Jesus walking. John the Baptist baptizing Jesus. Moses parting the Red Sea. But I don't have them, so we're just going to go. Number one, everybody say number one. Number one is devotion. Devotion. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 41 to 42, those who believed in what Peter said were all baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. All the believers, listen, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals and to prayer. After being changed by this new message of hope in Jesus Christ, the people couldn't get enough of God. And so they devoted themselves to it. They devoted themselves to it. What did they do? They devoted themselves to teaching. They took time to learn what was being said, what it is that they believe in. We need to take time to believe, to learn what we believe in. Some of us are afraid to witness because we don't know what to say. Some of us are just, you know, let the fear come into our life. But other of us, we just don't know. We don't know what to say. I'm telling you today, right now, 2019 should be the year that the church gets to know their faith. We ought to be a church that knows what we believe in. And that's devotion. That's spending time in the Word. That's spending time asking questions. That's spending time knocking on pastor's door, any one of our doors, and saying, what does this mean? Can you explain this to me? How come we're this way? Why did we? I remember in a van with a bunch of teenagers like 7 years ago, 8 years ago, we were driving up north, and one of them said to me, Pastor Paul, why did Jesus have to die for sins? Aren't sins bad? I was like, well, that's a good question. At the first, I was like, what do you mean? But she heard us say, Jesus Christ died for sins. So she didn't understand it. So I got to spend the next 20 minutes explaining how sin separates us from the Lord and all the stuff about, you know, shedding of blood and remission of sin and Jesus shedding his blood and dying on the cross and rising from the dead so sin can be destroyed and we can have eternal life in God. And her face was lit up. Oh, that's great. That's better. It was life-changing. When you know the God you serve and you spend time devoting yourself to what he has already spoken to us, it changes you. It changes you. Not one of us knows enough. We can all learn to know more. We can all use a little bit more of the Word of God in our life. These people also devoted themselves to fellowship. It's important for us to get together with people who are going to lift us up. Devote ourselves to this time with people. You know, sometimes we hang out with things and people that we shouldn't hang out with, and it drags us down. Well, let's spend more time with people that lift us up. If you're not being challenged by your friends, find some other friends and watch them challenge you. It's all about devotion. Your life with Christ isn't just about 20 minutes in the morning reading and praying, coming to church once a week, and then doing everything else. It's everything. Devoting yourself fully to the things of God. It's more than just your quiet time in the morning. It's your lunchtime. It's your time going to work, coming back from work, being at work. Everything is devotion to the Lord. Everything is devotion. Devotion carries a lot of weight because great people who do great things sacrifice to get there. Great men and women of God who do great things spend a lot of time devoting their life to the things of God. If we're looking at our life, and I'm looking at my life, honestly, I look at it myself and I say, I can do so much more for the kingdom of God. Why haven't I? Because I haven't devoted myself like I can. Devotion carries weight. Now, think about this. Think about an artist versus a drawer. I sit down at a piece of paper and they say, draw a house. So I make two lines. One line on top, one line on the bottom, and then a triangle, and then a little rectangle, maybe a window, and some smoke. There's a house. That's a drawer. I didn't sacrifice for that. I didn't spend any time on that. I just kind of threw it up because that's how I draw. I'm a drawer. That's what I am. I'm a drawer. Draw a cat. Circle, circle, triangles. Bam! Cat. You got something else for me? draw a waterfall scene. let's go to Niagara and take a picture. There you go. That's what I can do. Just squiggly lines going down and a bunch of little fuzzies. There's my waterfall. I'm a drawer. But if you've ever watched an artist take nothing and grab their colors and just begin to throw things on the canvas, at first you're like, this doesn't look like anything. You walk away for 5 minutes and come back and you're like, whoa. You can walk in there. I've seen these things on Facebook where people just take colored pencils that little kids use to color in their coloring books, and they make a picture of a person that's so lifelike you think it's a photograph, but no, it's their hand coloring in and shading it in and putting it in. Why can they do that? Because they've devoted their life to being able to do that. I haven't. I've devoted my life, very little of my life, to my art skills. And it shows. It shows. It shows. What about athletes? Athletes versus intramurals. I have a claim to fame because at the Zion Bible College intramurals basketball season, one game, I was on fire. I drained 7 threes. Before Steph Curry was even popular or even like in the NBA, I started that trend. It was me. NBA changed because they said, wow, did you hear this kid at Zion? 7 threes. Let's change everything. Nobody cared at all about me hitting my threes. I spent very little time. And the next game, I didn't score any. Because they guarded me, and when they guarded me, I was no good because I'm terrible at basketball. Why? Because I've spent very little of my life devoting it to basketball. I heard the story about Larry Bird, Larry Legend, which many of you have heard. Larry Bird, number 33, big, tall, weird-looking fella. He was in a commercial, and they wanted him to shoot and miss. And every time he would shoot, he would make it. And they're like, we need you to miss it. He says, I can't. I have to change the way. No, we want you to shoot properly, but we want you to miss it. And it goes in. He says, my body is so set up with this form that it goes in. at a high percentage of time from this location. I can't miss because my body has been taught to shoot like this over these years. Why is Larry Legend so good? Because he devoted his life to basketball. It shows. What's showing in our life? What have we devoted? Think about it. What is your legacy in 2018? And what do you want it to be in 2019? You see, God's an all in or nothing kind of God. Everybody say all in. And I think many of us have felt what it feels like to have nothing, to feel nothing, to be stuck in ruts, and to be not where we want to be. And I'm here to tell you that let's flip the script on this devil that's trying to destroy us. Let's flip the script on our flesh and start saying, I'm no longer going to be satisfied with lack or with nothing. I'm going to go all in with God because there's an all-in anointing for us next year to do greater and greater things than we've ever done. But it comes with devotion. I think it's kind of, you know, can I be a little, you know, harsh to myself? To all of us? Yes. Okay, sure, you can. Thank you very much for that permission. I think it's a little bit, what's the word I'm looking for? Not condescending, but it's a little bit presumptuous to think that we can live the life of victory that God wants us to live without actually devoting our life to Him the way we should. Take the knife out of my back. I stab myself. I think it's a little presumptuous for me to think that I can do the things that my heroes of faith have done when I haven't paid the price that they paid. Salvation's free, folks. I'm not talking about being saved. You can't do nothing to make yourself more saved than you are today. But you sure can do a lot to make your life better than it is today. 100%. And if you want freedom and liberty in 2019, how much do you want it? Will be seen by how much you devote your life to Christ. Bam. I felt like a bam. I hear your claps and your cheers and amens in my head. I hear them. Colossians 3:17, whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Devotion and desire are catalysts for change. If you're not satisfied with 2018 and you want more, devote yourself to the things of God. Our devotion will set the table so we can prosper. You may think it's a little old-fashioned to be somebody who thinks about Jesus and does the things of the Lord and reads the Bible and prays every day and comes to church and does it all the time and brings and prays and reads at lunchtime and just spends time with the Lord. You may think it's an old-fashioned because this world is so busy, there's not a whole lot of time. But I'm telling you, old-fashioned things still are sharp. Old things still have sharpness on them that cut through bone and marrow, and it's called the Word of God. And if we will grab a hold of this old biblical principle to devote ourselves to the things of God, change will take place in our life. The cost of growth, the cost of knowing God, the cost of witnessing is our devotion. Hosea said, "My people are being destroyed because they don't know me." That's a word for us today, just like it was for them back in those days. My people are being destroyed because they don't know me. How do we get to know Him? We devote ourselves. Everything we do wrapped around this thing called Jesus. This man who came, who died, who rose again, who's alive, who sent a spirit, who's got healing and anointing and power and freedom and blessings, all for everybody that we have oftentimes left still wrapped up as gifts. We just finished Christmas, and I had a lot of people at my house. I had my family, which is six of us, Bruce, Shirley, and David, that's three more, plus my parents, that's two more, plus my brother and his family, that's four more. Our tree looked like it exploded, and there's just stuff everywhere. And it took us forever to open them up. But you know what? We opened every one of them. Why? Because you open gifts. That's what you do.
Oh, there's a gift. Oh, I'll just wait till next year. I don't want to.
No, give me that present. I'm opening it now. Socks. Yes. It's what I've always wanted. You do that. And when God offers you gifts, how come we so often leave them on the shelf and don't open them up? It's because we haven't devoted ourselves. We don't even know they're there. You don't even know what you're capable of. Why? Because we need to devote more of ourselves to the things of God this year. You will see that you are capable of so much more than you have. You have more joy, more freedom, more victory in your future than you know about. If you'll devote yourself, you'll see it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Devotions and quiet times and prayer and intercession, time in church, these aren't punishments. These aren't your sin or you have to do this because you have to make restitution. These are intimate moments with a God who loves you, who wants to change you and challenge you and bless you. This is fuel for your spiritual engine, air for your spiritual lungs, the foundation for your better life in Christ. 2019, number one, devote yourself. Number two, declaration. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Let the message about Christ and all its riches fill your life. Teach and counsel each other with all wisdom that he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or whatever you say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. 2019 needs to be a year where the church regains her voice. We need to get our voice back. You turn on the TV, you listen to the radio, you go outside at all, and you will hear the voice of the devil. And it is loud, let me tell you something. It is loud. The church needs to regain her voice. We need to get loud. We don't need to be crass. We don't need to be filthy. We don't need to be jerks. We just need to declare the goodness of God in this world. We need to declare the goodness of a Savior who still is on the throne today. We need to declare the victory that his church has, and it's afforded to anyone who will believe. The Bible says, still says that anyone who calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. And that's news that the world needs to hear. The world has heard a bunch of news about division. The world has heard enough news about fear, about wars, about disease, about hate, about all that. It's time the church rises up and gives the message of hope, the voice of truth in this world that needs to hear that Jesus Christ loves them so, for the Bible tells me so. Hallelujah. We need to tell the world that Jesus is still alive. Declaration. We need to devote ourselves and we need to declare things about the Lord. We need to declare those good things of God in 2019. We need to worship with passion the God who is alive and who's still on the throne. We need to worship at home. We need to worship here. We need to worship in our job. We need to worship in our car. We need to worship to old songs. We need to worship to new songs. We need to worship to fast songs, to slow songs, the songs we love, the songs we hate. We need to worship the God who was alive, because our voice carries weight when we begin to worship God. Worship adds fire to your faith. Everybody say fire.
Fire.
Not like this, fire. That was awesome. You guys are good at that. Worship is that special supernatural bond between God and man. It's something that, like, people who don't spend time in the presence of the Lord don't understand. Don't understand what it's like to be at an altar with hands lifted and the music and the singing and all that stuff just kind of fades away behind you and you begin to weep in the presence of God, not because you're sad, not because you're scared, but because the weight of his glory hits you so much, you just break. You break in his presence. But it's not a bad breaking. You're not broken and you're falling apart. All the sin, all the turmoil, all the fear, that just breaks off and you become free in the presence of the Lord. Worship is that incredible connection that we have with God. Animals don't have it. Angels worship God, but they don't get blessed like you and I do. Angels worship God 24/7. They say the same thing over and over and over again, but they've never been redeemed. You have. We know the intimacy that no angel can know, that no animal can know. No creature on this entire universe could possibly know what humanity knows when we worship a God. Because we're worshiping a God who is all-powerful, almighty, all-knowing, and he should have no time for you, except he makes the time. Tell you what, if he makes room for us, we ought to make room for him. Amen? Declare the praises of God who called you out of darkness and into his glorious light. Everybody say declare.
Declare.
You see, I believe declarations, when you declare the good things of God, when you worship, it changes the way you speak. It changes the way you speak. We've all met people that we've seen in altars spending time with the Lord, and when we see them out in the world, we wonder, are you even saved? We know that. And I'm here to tell you, that can't be our testimony anymore. I'm telling you right now, all of us, our testimonies should be seen. We should look different. Why should we look different? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. We should look different because a world that is hurting and in need of a Savior has been to all of those places already and has got nothing. And they need the church to have something different for them. When we declare the good things of God, we don't allow room for the enemy to come out of our mouth. We don't allow room for the flesh to come out of our mouth. We allow room only for the things of God. That's why the Bible says, whatsoever is pure, holy, righteous, and of good report, think on these things, get them in your hearts, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. This world would be completely different if everybody who believed in Jesus would declare the good things of God in their life. Because when we start declaring not just crass and vulgar things, but we begin to declare defeated things. Oh, I'm never going to get over this. You just declared it. I'm never going to get through this. You just declared it. My kids are never going to get saved. You just declared it. I'm never going to get out of debt. I'm always going to be broke. I'm always going to be sick. I'm always. You just declared it. Make 2019 the year that you let godly things out of your mouth. We don't have to ignore reality. Your kids may be lost today, but instead of declaring my kids are never going to get saved, you stomp, you make an altar in your house, you burn a crease in your carpet pacing back and forth. In the name of Jesus, my children will come to know Jesus. They will not be stuck. They are not devil. You cannot have them anymore in Jesus' name. And when they come in, with alcohol on their breath, stumbling through the door, you send them to your room, you make sure they're good, you get back downstairs, in the name of Jesus, devil, that was the last night. You are not having my children. You fight the good fight and watch how God changes it. You get a report that says that things are going downhill for you, you find that crease in your carpet, you pace back and forth with victory in your spirit and your soul and say, in the name of Jesus, I don't believe the report of the word, I believe the report of the Lord. Declare. Declaration. Worship. Worship is saying to the things that are attacking you, you don't have any teeth. Because the God who has my attention is the God who's going to destroy you. The God who has my attention is the God who fights my battles. I just picture it so much. Paul and Silas, come here, Anthony. You can be Silas because I am Paul. We don't want to confuse anybody. And we're just sitting here beaten. Why were we beaten? Because we were doing the things of God. We cast a demon out of a servant girl in the marketplace, and the people who made money off of her threw us in prison, beat us, threw us in, chained us together. And instead of singing,
nobody knows the trouble I've seen.
We rehearsed this.
Nobody knows my sorrow.
If the Bible says, and Paul and Silas began to sing the blues, the story would have ended. And it would have changed a chapter, and we would have had somebody else take the mantle. But I believe there's something more along the lines of like, oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy high tenor.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
When Jesus washed.
When Jesus washed.
When Jesus washed.
When Jesus washed.
He washed my sins away.
Oh, happy day.
Come on.
Oh,
Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day.
Okay, I got to stop. I got to preach more. Sorry. This is just going to go on forever. But what happened is as they began to worship the Lord in the middle of the inner prison where there was no way out and no light, they began to feel something shake. They began to feel the walls shake and their chains began to break and they stood up and they were free, not because they fought the battle, but because they paid attention to the God who fought the battle. Amen. Declare, declare, declare. Praise God. Hallelujah. Proverbs 18:21. Heather, if you can come on up and band, you can come on up with her. Death and life are in the power of your tongue. Declarations are so important. And I think it's important for us to not be afraid to make them. To not be afraid to declare things that aren't as if they are. I believe faith is the evidence of things hoped for and the things not seen. The substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I believe it's okay that if you're waiting on a miracle, to declare it in your prayer time as if it's done. We can't let doubt come up and say, no, it's not true. No, that's manipulation. That's manipulation. Don't do that. No, that's what the Bible says. Declare. The substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We need to be a people that says, I need a victory in my life and I'm going to claim it. I'm going to claim my victory. I'm going to declare my victory over my life. Now, we don't have to go out there with, you know, snot running down our nose and like I had at the Christmas thing with the thing, you know, all that stuff. You know, sick as a dog and say, I'm not sick. You know, you don't have to be an idiot. But you can sit there while you're fighting that sickness and illness and saying, in Jesus' name, this sickness is on you. It's not on me. I am now walking in your healing, Lord. And I'm walking in your power and your strength. And I tell you what, the Lord will hear your faith, will listen to your faith, and heal you of Lyme disease, and heal you of all kinds of things that you've got going on. If we will just simply devote ourselves and declare the goodness of the Lord. Because life and death being in the power of your tongue, how many times have we allowed our tongue to bring death? How many times in 2018 have we let death come out of our tongue? And we just think, well, I'm just being a realist. Well, Jesus is supernatural. He's not reality. You don't need to be a realist in faith because faith is not reality. Faith is supernatural. And if you want to live in reality and be a realist, that's where you go. That's it. That's as good as you get. But if you will say no to being a realist and say yes to being a faithful man or woman of God and declare those good things of God, things will begin to shake in your life. Realist says Paul and Silas should be stuck in that jail. Faith says, oh, happy day. And everything began to shake. And they were free. Let's reach back. The Lord said through Brother Mike here that he continues to reach out. He continues. God continually reaches out to you. Let's reach back right now. Go ahead and lift your hands and reach back. Say, God, I'm reaching back. I'm reaching back. You have done so much. You have come so far. I'm going to come the rest of the way. I'm reaching back. Oh, come on. Just praise him right now. Just take a moment and praise him in your seats and say, God, I'm ready. I'm ready to change everything. I'm ready for my life to be different in 2019. This isn't going to be just another year where I become the same old man, the same old woman as I've always been. This is different. I'm reaching back. I'm reaching back. Come on, reach back, church. Reach back to this God who's reaching out to you today. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.
Here, moving in our midst, I worship you. I worship you.
You are here,
working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place.
Oh, hallelujah.
I worship
you. We worship you.
I worship you. King, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Waymaker said,
Waymaker, miracle work, promise keep, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Come on, let's declare it together. That's who he is.
Yes. Waymaker, miracle work, keep light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Oh, way maker said,
way make miracle work, promise keep light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Hallelujah. When the Lord stops and speaks, we listen. And what came forth was that God has been reaching out to everyone and hasn't stopped. And we always didn't always reach back. Because how it came out was I've been reaching and I've been reaching, trying to show you how strong I am, how powerful I am. But how many would say, and be honest, because this is a new year, that during 2018, there was more than one time that you just didn't reach back. I think today, the Lord is calling you out and saying, I'm ready for 2019 to be different, if you are. The last thing I wanted to tell you was three, demonstration. When you devote yourself and you declare, demonstration comes. And a demonstration is taking a step of faith to an altar to say, God, this is a different year for me. And I am no longer going to be that way. I will no longer ignore your calls. I will no longer ignore your reach. I will reach back. I will reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. I will come and experience the way maker. I will come. This is my life. And if you put your hand up, I want to invite you to come to this altar right now and reach back. So come on down. You had your hand up, you come down. God is calling us out. You come to this altar and you lift your hands up and you reach back to this God who has got your back, who has got your hand, who has got your future, who has got your life, who has got you where he wants you to be tonight. Oh, he's a way maker. Praise God. Let it fill. Come on, let his presence surround you mightily today. Oh, way maker. Miracle work,
promise keep, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Oh, we want a different Jesus.
Way make, miracle work, promise keep, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Wow, way make, way make. Come on, shout it. He's my promise keeper.
Light in the darkness, my
people, shout it.
Even when I don't see it, you're working.
You're working, Lord.
Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Never stop, never stop working. Never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Never stop, never stop.
Take 30 seconds and praise your God today. Take 30 seconds and lift your voices, lift your hearts, lift your eyes, and begin to praise your God. 30 second praise break right now. Thank you for victory. Thank you for victory today. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. God is not only reaching out to those who haven't reached back because of being busy and because of all this. I believe God's reaching out to someone here tonight that doesn't know Jesus as your Savior. And with every head bowed and eye closed and nobody looking around, I'm going to ask if there's anybody here that would say, Pastor Paul, I don't have a relationship with Jesus. I don't have a relationship with Christ. I don't know if I'm going to heaven. I'm here to tell you that Jesus made a way for you. Your sin does not have to separate you from God anymore. It doesn't have to separate you anymore. Jesus died for you so that you wouldn't have to die eternally in hell. And when he rose from the dead, he gave us eternal life. And all you have to do is believe that Jesus died on the cross and that he rose again for you. And the Bible says you will be saved. Your life will be drastically different because Jesus will enter it. I'm here to tell you, he's reaching out. And all you need to do to reach back is to accept him as your Savior. And that's the beginning of the greatest journey of your life. Is there anybody here tonight, this morning, that would say, Pastor Paul, I want to give my life to Jesus right now and start the year off right? Just go ahead and raise your hand. In the altar, in the seats, wherever. Is there anybody at all? Praise you, Jesus. Is there anybody at all? I can't see in the back. Praise God. Is that a hand over there? Yeah, I see a hand. Is anybody else? Anybody else? Well, praise God. Praise God. I'm coming to you. I'm coming to you. Come on, give it up. Give it up. Praise God. This is Taylor.
Taylor, I'm so proud of you, man.
I lead you in prayer. We're going to do this family style. I want everybody to pray this with me and Taylor, all right? Say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for coming into my life today. I'm sorry that I've been a sinner, that I've made mistakes, and I ask you to forgive me and set me off new. I know you died for me, and I'm going to try to live for you every day. Help me through the ups and the other ups. And when things get tough, I'm going to reach out, and I know you're going to be there for me. Thanks for all that you've done and all that you're going to do in me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, let's rejoice this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. Lord, I just pray for Taylor today. I thank you, Jesus, that he's starting this life with you. God, I don't know if he's been in church before or he's done this before, but God, this is a new beginning. A new beginning, Lord. A life, God, that he's dreamed of is about to take place. God, we know, Father, the enemy and the world is going to try to drag him places that he doesn't want to go. And I pray that strength will come into him, that he will find strength as he gives his life to you, as he prays, as he worships, as he spends time with you, as he learns about this thing that we serve, this God that we serve called Jesus. I thank you that he's got a family around him, a family of faith that's here to build him up, strengthening him, Lord, and to show him, God, that we're not going to quit and he doesn't have to quit either. So, God, I pray you'll bless him. Give him strength in his body. I pray, Lord, that if he has any aches or pains, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that he'll be healed. God, I pray that if he has any financial concerns, that he'll give them to you and you'll begin to bless him mightily, Lord. I pray that this will be the year that sets him free, God, from all the things that he's been struggling with. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. The Shunammite woman. I want everybody to listen. The Shunammite woman made room for God. And after that, God was so blessed. He told Elisha, go ask her what she wants. Do you want to have an audience with the king? Do you want this and that? He says, no, I already live with my people and I'm doing okay. But I don't have a son. And Elisha said, this time next year, you'll have a son. And she said, oh, no, don't lie to me. But this time next year, she had a son. You see, your demonstration that you'll walk in after you devote and after you declare, your demonstration is going to see people saved. You're going to see miracle signs and wonders. And the things that you might not even know you need, you're going to receive. And God's going to be the one to tell you you need him. He'll be the one to tell you, you need this. Ask me. Bam. It's not difficult. We just allow the busyness and the stress of life to get in the way. Let's put it to the side. Let's devote. Let's declare. And let's demonstrate the goodness of God. And I promise you, you will walk in the blessing of the Lord every day. Go ahead and lift your hands up. Father, I thank you for these people who have made a decision today that they're going to reach back. That we're not just going to make a little bit of room, Lord. We're going to take what we made next year and we're going to quadruple it. We're going to give you more and more and more. And January will be the start. February, there'll be more. In March, there'll be more. We want to make room in our life so that you can do the miraculous once again. We want revival to break out in Charleston. We want it to break out down east in Sullivan. We want it to break out all over the state of Maine, the Northeast, North America, South America, and the rest of the world. And I pray in Jesus' name that a group of people from Charleston Church will make room and watch you do your wonders. Thank you, Lord, that as we devote, as we declare and demonstrate your goodness, you will be faithful, God, to bless us in return. And we love you. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Everybody shout amen. Give God a mighty hand clap of praise.